Here I was, blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along.
Make chicken salad out of chicken shit. People is as people does, that's all there is to it. Put a square peg in a round hole, just never seems to fit.
This is Bianca Belair.
This is Kevin Owens.
Hey, it's Seth freaking Rollins.
It is the man, Becky Lynch.
It's Rhea Ripley here, and you're listening to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome, everyone, to your longest-running Australian wrestling podcast. It's Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman, for this very special episode with a guest that in my opinion, will probably go down by the end as the GOATs of Australian professional wrestling, Robbie Eagles. How are you today, my friend?
Very good, Todd. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I'm good. I'm still recovering from the weekend, but I'm good. I'm good. It actually only occurred to me during StarCast when I was watching you and Kushida. I was like, really, like, by the time you're finished, it's going to be really hard to deny. I mean, you've got Buddy Matthews and you've got Rhea, and Rhea will be up there as well, but just your resume of work over just more than one place will really have you in that talk of being like one of the GOATs of Australian wrestling.
It's a good point that you make. I think that's the difference between, say, me and Rhea, or me and Grayson now, and Buddy and likes. They've only really dabbled on the independent side of things, and you know, none of them have really done much in Japan. I know Buddy and Rhea both have had stints there, but they didn't do long stints, whereas I've
made
myself on the Asian side of the world. But I think that's the thing that I definitely bring to it. And my little thing, it's a bit of an ego check for me, Todd. I think I'm the most overlooked Australian export. That's one of the best that's come from here. So that's fine. I'll continue to be overlooked because it just means I wow people when I'm in front of them for the first time.
Yeah, I think that's what I put up on our, like, the Wrestle Radio Twitter and all my socials. I just had a photo of, like, you and Kushida in the ring. I'm like, I really don't think the people in Ballarat realize the match that they're getting right now with the two of you working.
Oh, maybe they did come to realize when they came to my bootleg shop that I had set up
that night. Which was, please tell that story, because that isn't, like, when I read it during the show, I remember I was sitting next to Welshy. I showed him and I've just gone, isn't that just perfect? That is amazing.
Yeah, it's probably the most independent wrestling thing I've ever done in my career, 16 years on, and being a fully contracted New Japan pro wrestler. So it's quite funny that it happens at this point in my career, but I don't know if it was a logistics thing. I don't know if it was just space, but we kind of got word that there wasn't ability to sell merchandise at the arena where the Australian Stampede was happening. And I thought, hey, I've brought two bags full of hoodies, hoping to get rid of some of them amongst other gear that I still had. Had a rental car, had a pretty big boot space. So I just put a thing out on Instagram saying I'm going to be in the parking lot. Come find me. And look, there's a photo. I posted one on my story today on Instagram with Tommy Knight having a tough decision on what to pick. But it was not a shabby setup. And, you know, I had a fair few people come up and buy some stuff. So I can't complain.
Yeah, absolutely loved it. It popped me huge when I saw it. I was just like, that is so perfect. Because like I remember when we walked in earlier before the show, because we did WrestleBrania there before the show, and I realized that there was no real merch setup. I was like, oh shit, because I wanted to get like a Dusk shirt, and I wanted to get like the hoodie as well. And I was like, oh, I've got no that. Oh, I wonder how that's going to happen. So, but yeah, then you did that. I was like, that's just amazing. What
if
did
I was
you
more
think?
Prepared, I would have gone to like a Bunnings or something and got a trestle table and actually set up right out front as people were spilling out. But I was just going with the flow and I was, you know, doing it on the fly. I didn't tell many people I was doing it, and I really didn't make the decision to do it until I got to the car and I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah. What did you think of StarCast overall, like the setup and all that? Because I personally didn't mind. I liked the fact that it was sort of like the two areas of everything were sort of within real good close walking distance, and then you've got the whole it sort of set apart the shows from the rest of the convention, if you will.
I think it was better for people like yourself attending, and you were participating, but for someone like an active wrestler, having the stadium and the I guess, convention section that we had the next day for the meet and greets being so far apart. If you were doing it all on one day, like when we first arrived, we tried to set up at the last minute at the convention for the meet and greets. It was just too much of a hassle logistically to like set up our stuff, then race across to the stadium in time. But it was cool to see how it all worked out. I think all three of the buildings where it took place were like nice buildings and the setup was well done. It's a work in progress. It's the first time that it's happened in Australia and something, you know, like that. So I'm sure people are going to look at it and there's advantages and disadvantages, but there's definitely going to be, you know, things that they look at and do differently or do better.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have learned from what went right, what went wrong from this one and sort of improve on it. For me personally, as a fan that went in there, I found everything pretty easy. Like the lineups weren't all that long, you know, unless you were waiting for like Eric Bischoff or Brett, because those lines just went forever. But aside from that, like being able to talk to all the workers, being able to on the sides, that was really quick and just really easily accessible. It was like my hat's off to them for that sort of thing.
Yeah, congrats to OPW and the Starcast Down Under crew that all did that, as well as Relentless School of Pro Wrestling. They did a great job helping us all out during that weekend. Amongst everyone else, I'm probably missing tons of people, but like I could name them by name, but I might not get the brand name correct. So you all know who you are. Some of you actually had a drink at the end of the night on Saturday anyway. So,
For me, I think your match with Kushida stole the show, because it was just like when you guys started, I'm like, I wonder what they're going to do here, if they're going to go to a more of a Western style of a match, or if they're just going to go the way that you're now probably very comfortable with and that Kushida's comfortable with, and that is the New Japan style. And you sort of went more the New Japan style and just thought, like, we're going to educate these people on what this style of match is. And by the end of it, they were absolutely loving it. That had to be sort of like real. That had to be sort of like a pat on the back for you. Like, yeah, we brought these guys around and we showed them what this type of wrestling is.
I'm quite used to it now, to be honest, Todd. And again, ego check, whatever you want to like put under here. If people want to comment on this and say Robbie's blowing smoke up his own end, that's fine. I'm at a stage in my career where I can do that and I'm fine with it. But we just went out there and wrestled. And Kushida has been an inspiration for me for a long time, especially when I really put the blinders on and was focused on getting into New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's won multiple Best of the Super Juniors. He's been in the Super J Cup. He has been kind of everywhere, especially now with his TNA run. Like, he's really done it all. And he's always learned from where he's gone and he's applied it in the ring. So I've always thought he's a world-class talent, unlike everyone else, unlike anyone else. He's just intergalactic jet setter, because he's out of this world. And I wanted to prove to him that I not only match up to him, but I was better than him. And I was able to do that in Ballarat. And the people came along for the ride. I think they might have had one perception of what the match would have been when we first walked in, especially people that might not be familiar with both of us, which I totally understand was definitely going to happen with the casual audience in the crowd. But by the end of it, they knew that we could wrestle our boots off, and turns out that I was the one that picked up the victory. So I was the one that got more of the cheers at the end.
Yeah, that like during the match, I was just like, they're just going to teach these guys what good wrestling is. Like during the match, I'm like, wow, they're just going to go for it and show them how, like, it was just blowing me away. I'm like, this is great, because, you know, when you've been in wrestling for long enough, you can feel when a crowd is not engaged, and then when a crowd just starts going along with it. And there was a certain point in the match, and I can't remember off the top of my head when it was, where all of a sudden that crowd just switched and went, oh, this is fucking amazing, and just went along with it. And just, it was so good to see. It was so good to see.
Well, I'm glad that you say that, Todd, because when you're in an arena like the Selkirk Stadium, there's a funny thing that happens. The floor seats are quite close and the barriers are like just outside of that. So it's, you can kind of feel and hear those people, right? But then when you think about that first tier of the elevated bleacher style sitting, that's really far away from the ring. So the noise goes up and out, and we don't get a lot of that feedback into the ring as the performers in those bigger stadiums. So there was several points in the match where I was thinking, these people don't like what we're giving them. if you're saying otherwise, then I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. You've because you and I sort of like we've sort of worked together last year with Kazai Fujita and my boys top tier up at QWA. How happy are you with how far Kazai has come along since that? Because that was his excursion. That was his really his sort of like expedited excursion for New Japan. How proud of you when you see what he's doing now, just coming back from injury, of course, but just leading into that and everything you guys are doing with TMDK over there.
Dude, I'm so proud of the kid. Like I've said, Fuge is a prodigy and I've been telling people that since before he even came to Australia. The fact that I get to be in TMDK with him just makes it so much easier, like traveling and just the toils of the business, because he's just a bright spot on the business in terms of like the human being that he is as well. And he's young, so he's naive. Mm. So it's fun to play around with him like that. But, you know, he's done so many impressive things. The match with Top Tier in QWA was definitely one of my favorites of the tour that we did across Australia while he was here for 8 weeks. I was very impressed with how he acclimated. And look, I was impressed with the boys because I hadn't been in the ring with them before. So it's one of those ones where it's kind of a hidden gem and it's on YouTube for free. So I would definitely make sure people go and see it. But for Fuge to, you know, step up to people like Okada at New Year's Dash and get in his face and then have such a strong performance as Okada's on the way out to AEW at Corican Hall and really stand out in that position, it just shows what a talent he is. And Taiwan last weekend, let's also talk about the fact that New Japan Pro Wrestling was represented in three different countries over the one weekend. So they were in Chicago for Windy City Riot whilst we were doing StarCast, and it was myself versus Kushida, which is a bit of an internal New Japan match. And then the following day, there was a show for New Japan Pro Wrestling in Taiwan, which Fujita wrestled Doki and didn't pick up the victory, so he's not the next challenger for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship yet. But he'll get there. And, you know, that's a feat of its own. And I want to make sure that people understand how important that weekend was for New Japan Pro Wrestling across the globe. And I was a big part of that.
Yeah, so that's
amazing. About Gita, let's talk about me more, Todd. Come on.
All right, mate. Okay, calm down. Especially now in this sort of PWA run, you sort of like are moving towards more, well, you've moved towards more of heel work for it. Is that a nice sort of refreshing change for you? Because I know for most of the time that I've seen you, it's always been like Robbie Eagle, sort of like, pardon the term, like white meat baby face, like yay fans. And just to see that, like the harder edge come out with some of your interactions with Tuckman, and also being TMDK of sort of like a little bit like that in Japan as well. Is that like a refreshing change for you? Is just like just breathe a little bit more life into what you've been doing?
I don't know why people in wrestling and wrestling fans keep referring to characteristics of other people by either a foot or a face. but, you know, look, if you want to say that I'm being a certain way, that's your perspective, Todd. I see it as I've had this young upstart come after me and he's barking a lot and I'm just not biting. I'm not biting like he wants me to, right? And that's what maybe got him the championship from Unsocial Jordan to begin with, because he kind of played those mind games and really got into Jordan's head. But I've been doing it 16 plus years now and I don't let these things faze me. And he simply has what I want. And it's a bit repetitive to say that, but, you know, it's clear as day. Refreshing. Look, I'm always me, whether people are cheering me, whether they're against me. And I don't know what they're going to do tomorrow night at the Spiegel tent, but I'm still going to be me. I'm TMDK's Lim Reaper. I'm still Robbie Eagles. I'm still the same kid that started 16 years ago in PWA, had his first training session in that same ring, his first match in that same ring, and I still put Australian wrestling on my back. It's up to the people on how they want to side, what side of the fence they want to fall. There's nothing more refreshing, though, than getting to beat up a green wrestler, than taking one of your own students and then doing the classic, I taught you everything you know, but you don't know everything that I know. And that's really going to come to light tomorrow.
So with it, because being that it is for the soul of PWA, it's a title that you haven't actually won yet. So that would be, you'd be the grand champion. Is that the first grand champion, I'm right?
I'd actually be coming second in that race because Mick Moretti is the only person that achieved that feat before me, which he hasn't, you know, let down at all. He hasn't told me time and time again. So it's not festering in my head.
No, well, that's fair. Well, you've got to, and I know that they only just posted it tonight that tomorrow night is sold out. Tomorrow, as we're recording this, is sold out. So it is actually going to be streaming live on YouTube at 8 p.m. Australian Eastern Time. So if you're at home and you're listening, because this will be up on Friday morning, Friday night, 8 p.m., go and watch Ringmasters. It's got an amazing card, like Jessica Troy and Sam. You've got, of course, Robbie Eagles and Tuckman. The two matches there that are worth the price of admission, even though you don't have to pay admission because it's free on YouTube. You're not paying for Triller. You're not paying for any of that. It's absolutely free. I know you said you're looking forward to taking a student that you've trained and all of that sort of thing. It's got to be sort of like not weird, but when you look at most of the PWA roster now, most of the PWA roster, aside from, of course, the veterans, are all people you've trained. So it's going to be like
strange. It definitely is strange to look at it in that light. I made a comment on my social media today where I said, you know, it's really cool to see this outpouring of support for the Tuckman from his fellow brothers and sisters in this new generation of Australian wrestlers. But my problem with that generation of Australian wrestlers is that they don't do their bloody research. They don't look at the history and look at who the people were that laid the foundation for them, that gave them that pathway. Hell, there's so many people in this country that still don't understand how high on a pedestal they should hold Madison Eagles for everything that she's done for this country. They know she's great and they know she's got an aura and they know that other people have said you should look up to her, but they don't do the research to find out why. They don't look at her matches. They don't look through the archives. And that really annoys me because it's this naivety that this younger generation has, and they're getting everything on a silver platter, right? And you got people like Dave Storm who wants to pander to them and say, you got to go against TMDK. You got to step up. It's like, old man, move to the side. TMDK is the hot shit right now. And we're here to prove if you're not going to research us, then we're going to show you what you haven't learned. And that's the thing that we did better than anyone else because we knew what came before us. We knew who laid the foundation and the pathway. Mikey Nichols is one of those people that did that. But people still don't know how great he is. So, yeah, it's interesting. Like, I get more and more mad as the days go by at training, Todd, because there are less of my friends and peers around, and there's more of these, g'day, I'm 18 years old. I'm here to train, Robbie. Bright eyes, bushy tail. And I'm like, can't wait to slap that out of you.
I remember there's a story that Lachlan tells, and he was at the last Coliseum. They're in line to get photos with like Zach, and Lachlan got a photo with Zach, but then it was Madison taking the photos, and he just asked like, "Oh, do you mind if I get a photo with Madison as well?" And it was one of those things where Zach was like, "Yeah, I'll take the camera." He actually knows who she is.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just
we do our research, Todd. We know, but this new generation, they're just looking for that handout going, "Please give it to me," and I'm not going to work for it. So I'm gonna make people like Tucky work for it.
Yeah, so that was sort of like the because really, like, TMDK have always been on the map, but that Perth show was really a reintroduction of who you guys were, really, at the end of that show, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And the fact that I was there to be a part of it, if not one of the catalysts to kind of bring us all together, I'm very happy that I was there that evening. You know, Tucky wants to paint me to be a bad guy, but he doesn't know the situation. I had a receipt coming for a Radmaker Kingston for years and years and years. So when I saw him come back to EPW, I was like, I'll find a time to pay him back that receipt. And David Storm and I have had our differences. So he's trying to make this an issue with all of Australian wrestling when it's not even his generation that we're dealing with. So I don't know what his problem is. I don't know why he's trying to create a mountain out of a molehill, but he's just creating more problems for himself as the current champion. So I'm sorry I keep focusing on Tuckman, but you've had this interview with me less than 24 hours before I have this match, and I'm just, you know, narrowed in. I'm focused.
No, you should be. You should be focused on it. It's a big title. It's also something where, like, is it a thing where you don't feel like he earned the spot that he's in?
I don't want to say he didn't earn it because I know he's put in the work and I've seen him do it at training. And I know that he's been really eager to make something of wrestling for himself, especially as a kid from Dubbo. You know, I've got family from that way, so I have a connection to where he's grown up. But the way that it happens, you know, some people might want to call it a fluke. Some people want to call it a flash victory. But something like what he did to Unsocial Jordan at Coliseum isn't going to happen to me because I've seen it all before. I've been pushed beyond what Unsocial Jordan's faced in his career. So I'm not going to be caught like that, even though that's one of the things he said in the media and in his promos. He's saying he's going to catch me off guard. I'm a tactician. I plan. I think about these things. I research. I was there for his first day, and I'll be there tomorrow night. So he's just got to remember that because I've been watching him. You know, some people would say watching like a hawk, but I say watching like an eagle because it's more appropriate.
You also, like, I think it was last week or the week before, I'm not quite sure on the dates, you were named for this year's Super Junior tournament. So I guess the idea is to win the title and take it over there to Japan. Who's the biggest threat, do you think, in that Super Juniors, aside from yourself, of course?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, undoubtedly it's me. If I have it my way, it'll be myself and Fujita in the finals. So it's an all TMDK finals. And then I'd like him to push me because of his youth and his inexperience. That can really throw a spanner in the work sometimes and create something that you're not prepared for, because this younger generation, one thing I will give to them is they do stuff that I couldn't even fathom was possible in the ring. So that's dream scenario, Todd. Threats in the tournament. Look, I'd have to look at the outsiders. You've got Ninja Mac, you've got Blake Christian, and you've got Hayata. And they're all first-timers in this tournament, none of which I've ever faced off with before, none of which I've shared a ring with before. So if any of those guys end up in my block, they could be real threats to me. But everyone else in the tournament, I'm pretty sure I've beaten at one point. So if we look statistically, I think you know who to put your money on.
It also is. It's a grueling, like Super Juniors. Those tournaments for Japan, they are a grueling, like, pace that you set over the length of the tournament. How do you prepare, like physically to be going in there? Because if you're not in a match, like a pool match or something like that, normally the next night you're in a tag match of some description or something like that, and it doesn't really stop until you're either eliminated from the tournament or you have the day off, sort of thing. So how do you prepare yourself for that physicality over the time?
Well, even if you do get eliminated from your bracket,
you still got to do that.
More tournament matches to go anyway, depending on when you're eliminated. It's still pride. You don't want to lose any of those matches going, "Oh, I'm already out. I'll just lay down for you." You still want to be the better wrestler in that contest. In terms of preparation, to be honest, it's rest and recovery. It's making sure before I get to Japan for that trip, I'm as healed as possible from this weekend. I don't have any other bookings after this weekend, thankfully, and I'm probably going to keep it that way. So I've got about 3 or 4 weeks before I travel and need to be in the best physical shape that I can be. And funnily enough, every year I step up my conditioning. So I'm probably going to be in even better shape than I was last year. But if we look at last year's tournament, I'd come off a match with Claudio Castagnoli for the ROH world title on ROH TV and actually separated my AC joint in that match. So I came into the best of the Super Juniors. And if you watch it back, the first two matches, I'm heavily taped up on the shoulder, but I still won the first two matches anyway. So I was hurt going into a Super Juniors and I still put out a great performance. So imagine me at 100%. Like, that's a scary thought for everyone. And that really proves why the tactician is the threat of the tournament. But yeah, let's just hope that Taki doesn't get any shots in tomorrow. I think I'll be pretty adamant on keeping it that way. And then, you know, the following day, I've got a match for Integrity Sports Entertainment against Dan Archer, who I've already beaten in his hometown before. So I think it's going to be two easy back-to-back nights.
Would you defend the title the next night if you got a chance?
Well, no, because Dan has no, like, he's got nothing proven against me. He's already lost, so why would I put the title on the line against a loser? Like, it's pretty simple. I mean, the stole of PWA title has been kept away from me for this long, Todd, and I've had to work this hard. I've had to wait this long since December to get my shot. So why should anyone else get a shot that easily? I'm gonna go into that match at the Spiegel Tent. I'm gonna beat Tucky real bad. I'm gonna take the championship, and I'm gonna piss off for a little while.
All right. That is tomorrow night, of course, or Friday night. PWA Ringmasters. You can't get tickets. The place is sold out. The only place you can watch it, unless you haven't got tickets, is on YouTube, the PWA YouTube. Go to it, subscribe, so you're not going to miss out when it's on. You can get Robbie's merch at headshotfightteam.bigcartel.com. Get onto him, support Robbie. Like I said at the start, mate, you are, in my opinion, when this is all said and done, you will be known as one of the goats of Australian wrestling, mate. Amazing match on Saturday at Starrcade and or the Australian Stampede. And, how can they follow you on their socials? So when you go over, if you're New Japan World, so you can follow the tournament as well. How can they follow you on your socials so they know what's going on with Robbie?
Well, I might have to change my social handles, Todd, because if goats could fly, they would be Robbie. so that's just a little thing that I'll drop there as a nugget for you. I'm at @RobbieEagles_ on everything, Instagram, X, and Facebook, I guess. Look, New Japan, NJPWWorld.com is where you can go and subscribe to follow along for the best of the Super Juniors starting May 11th, running until June 9th, where I break the curse because Robbie Eagles has never participated in Osaka Joe Hall, and now the Super Juniors Finals is happening at Dominion, so I will be gracing Dominion's presence for the first time in my career. And then, you know, you said there's no more tickets available, but if people are listening to this the morning of, there's a wait list. There's potential for more tickets to drop from the venue. So go on to Pro Wrestling Australia's social media. I'm pretty sure it's at PWA Australia on pretty much everything. And join that wait list, because if you really want to be at the Sydney Spiegel Tent April 19th, you can still make it happen. So let's pack that room out. Let's make it. It's no vacancy right now, as I say in Japan, and it's going to become super no vacancy on the night.
I was going to say, because I'm sorry to go back to it, but it was just something that just dawned on me while we were talking. Because you've been through you were with New Japan pretty much through the pandemic as well. So how much of it is a difference now that they can make noise again at New Japan?
Oh, it's everything. It's what got me through the Super Juniors tournament last year with a busted AC joint. If they weren't cheering, I probably would have withdrawn from the tournament pretty early in, because my shoulder was giving me all sorts of grief. The flight over alone was painful. So it's refreshing and it's rejuvenating to have them be able to make that noise. And the fact that they've waited so long, from 2020 to 2023, they waited for 3 years. Mm. I was there fighting Hiromu for the title in Ryogoku Sumo Hall when they were first able to make noise again. And the atmosphere that the people in that room brought is unlike anything else I've experienced. And it's just been a trickle-on effect. Every show for New Japan Pro Wrestling that I've been a part of has been like that. So I can't wait for them to bask in the glory of Robbie Eagles as not only the soul of PWA champion, but also best of the Super Juniors 31.
All right, Robbie, thank you so much for joining us, mate. Again, it was like the night before the show, and I threw it out there because timing and all that wasn't really on both of our sides. But thank you so much for working this out, mate. Again, follow Robbie on everything he does on socials, PWA on YouTube, New Japan World. And best of luck on the weekend, mate, and best of luck at Super Juniors.
Thank you very much, Todd.
Here I was, blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along. Make chicken salad.